A new national resting place, Nagara, will allow First Nations people to honour and care for their remains until they can be identified and returned home. This morning I'm joined by Professor Heidi Norman, a Gomeroi woman and member of the Australian Institute of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Studies, to learn a little bit more. Morning, Heidi. How are you?
Morning, Jared. I'm well, thanks.
That's good. Thanks for making the time for us this morning.
You're welcome.
So, obviously, the treatment of First Nations Australians over the last 200 or so years is pretty well documented. Whether or not it's acknowledged and appreciated is a different story. But what about the remains of Indigenous peoples? How's that evolved in the last 200 years since European invasion or colonisation?
Well, yeah, since the first few weeks of the contact here at in Sydney, and then of course all along the east coast, and then in a more organised way with settlement and invasion over landscapes, Aboriginal bodies were collected, and they were collected in different ways over, you know, really up until the 1980s even. Initially, you know, as we've mapped out in a recent article in The Conversation, they were trophies of empire. So they were collected, you know, in like the naturalist tradition, and then in other ways as trophies of empire. So you think about Pemulwuy and Yagan on the west coast. You know, this is really gruesome stuff, but their heads were taken as, so these were trophies and like mementos of settler sort of triumph, if you like. So really, I mean, that's only the beginning of it. And then the remains were collected also as curiosities. So you think about in some places where there was this false narrative of being the last of their people. So those bodies, say, you know, there are some very famous cases in Tasmania, but in other places as well, those bodies became highly prized in marketplaces.
So they were
valuable.
So when we say remains, and then you just use the term bodies a couple of times, are they pretty, for lack of a better word, but like recently deceased bodies, or are they more, may possibly been there for 50, 100, possibly even however many hundreds of years, similar to that of, you might find for, I don't know, species of animals and such? Is that what it is, or are they pretty, fresh, for lack of a better term, bodies?
I know what you're saying there. We get into some pretty gruesome detail. You know, that along the Murray River, it's referred to as the Murray Black Collection. I say bodies or ancestral remains, basically we're talking in this case about bones.
Okay.
They were collected up by the barrel loads. And so that was grave robbing. In other circumstances, say in about 1910-11, there was a Swedish group who travelled to the Kimberley, and they were watching on a burial ceremony, and under the shadow of the moon, went back into that fresh burial site and extracted flesh from bones and collected the bones to take back to a medical institute. So bodies were taken from morgues. There's even some thinking that there was body harvesting. So there was as people who were deemed to be of a valuable in for re bodies that were deemed to be valuable in marketplaces, they were sort of monitored. So it was a pretty, this was illegal. It was against the moral code, in terms of how people, in Christian values say you cared for the dead. And it changed over time. So say, I was thinking about mapping out these periods, and then from the 1850s as eugenics and origin of the species, social Darwinism, when there was a racial order that came to permeate discourse, that's when bodies were taken for different reasons. But after the, there's another kind of key shift, and that's really after the Second World War. So after the horrors of eugenics were revealed, many institutions, the bones, the ancestral remains in their collections became, sources of great embarrassment, and they started packing them up, and they were literally the skeletons in the closet, if you like.
That's just awful.
It's in Yeah, really awful. And it's in that context, in fact, that there's been a loss of provenance. So say where bones, ancestral remains were collected, they might have had been tagged in certain ways so that they were from the Murray River or they were by a nation group or maybe even Sydney or perhaps even La Perouse or, you know, Brewarrina, for instance. That provenance was lost when the collection started to be bundled up together and, you know, boxes literally sort of stowed away out of sight and, the dishonour involved in it became apparent. But that's really only the beginning of the story. You know, the story continues to roll on. So, for many generations, people have objected to these ancestral remains being taken.
Yeah, of course.
And, by the 70s, you had some really very clever and provocative campaigns. So people like Michael Mansell and Bob Weatherill protested out the front of the British Museum over the collections that were held there and their desire to have remains returned.
So so how is this being addressed now with this new Nagara? Is it going to be a couple of centuries worth of bones and such now that are going to be brought back, or will this point forward? Can you tell us a little bit about Nagara?
Yeah, so this is a project that's being led. It has federal government funding, and a part of what will be a big cultural precinct is a national resting place. So the national resting place, of course, is just a smaller part of it. And one of the reasons I've been writing about a national resting place is because for some of those remains that were collected, and now most institutions and certainly the federal government say they should come home, but not all of the remains can come home because the provenance was never kept. When I say provenance, it's the idea of where you come from. So right. Where can you be? Where is your country to rebury you? In some cases, quite a few thousand cases that those remains can't be returned, and so they need a home.
For lack of record kept?
Exactly.
Or? Right.
Exactly.
I see. Yep. So, and this is like you said, it's a national spot now to bring as many as we can back, but then will they be returned possibly if they're identified then further, then can they be returned to other places around the country back to, of course, where they were first taken from? That's the idea, correct?
Yeah. I think, most communities will say it is absolutely vital for people, for their ancestors to be returned to country. And that's, in my research, people would say that's for the spiritual health of that ancestor, but for the spiritual health of the whole community and the country, for people to be returned home.
Of course. And it's particularly important, I would imagine, of course, for like our First Nations community, because the respect and respect largely for ancestors and such is probably slightly more acutely felt than it is for a lot of other cultures, correct?
Well, I guess it's the idea that you actually come from a certain place. Mm. You come from a country and you have obligations. You have many thousands of generations of connection to that place. And so your spiritual health and this idea of being laid to rest is intrinsic to your country, to where you're from.
Sure. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Heidi. I do appreciate your time. Unfortunately, we've got to move on, but I really appreciate you coming on and giving us some insight.
Thanks, Jared. You're welcome.